Hello everyone, my name is Eric C. Jackson. This is Eric C. Jackson Studio. Welcome back to the channel. Today I want to talk about photo editing, building personality with your editing, your photography. I've met quite a few beginning photographers, especially on ViewBug. I do have a profile on that website, and I've gotten quite a few comments during the past several months of just beginners asking, well, just commenting really about how they like my work and that they wish that their work looked more like mine. And I definitely think that editing is a huge part of it. Of getting your work looking the way that you want it to look. So that's something that I'm going to go through here today. And so if you're watching this, whether it's on Spotify, YouTube, Twitch, I hope that you get something from it. So what you see on the screen right now is one of my more recent edits. It's called Sentience. It's basically a strange floral I found outside, and it doesn't look anything like this in the real world. I mean, it's got the shape of it, you know, that texture is there, but all the color that you see, the original doesn't look like that at all. And there's, for this particular shot, I actually started with a preset in Lightroom. And then, yeah, that was my starting point. I just, you know, tried different presets and decided that this one looks pretty good. And then I started tweaking it, changing the color, deepening the shadows, boosting up the highlights, that type of thing. Because more times than not, the beginning photograph that you take is probably going to look pretty flat, where that means that your highlights, your midtones, your shadows are all going to pretty much be even. So there is not going to be anything that stands out. You won't have any, like, taken properly, you won't have any overexposure with your highlights. You're going to have your details still in your shadows. The midtones are not going to be bland. So that's a pretty good shot. Now, after that, once you get a well-composed, pretty even lit shot, then you go into editing and you figure out, okay, do you want to boost the highlights? Do you want to play more on the shadows? What do you want to do with the midtones? Because they can lean either way, towards light or towards the shadows. So it's, you know, it just depends on the photo and what you're going for. I've been doing some more macro photography the past couple of days. I just finished a couple of hours ago with today's session. And so I want to go into that, but for you that are new here, let me show you the website. Let me go back to the beginning because this is a slideshow. But yeah, this is the website, ericcjacksonstudio.com. This is basically where I put most of my work that's still for sale. And I'm updating, I'm taking work down because if it gets dated, putting new work up, and then some of the work that I have, the old work that I previously took off the site, I'm bringing some of them back and then offering them as a more affordable option to those who don't have as high as a budget for artwork. And so it's in collection archival. Now, most of these are pretty dated, like they go back to 2013, what I have here so far. But as I'm sharing them with people again, because I've had these just collecting digital dust on my hard drive, as I'm sharing them again, people are liking them. And so I hope to add some more to the archival collection. And of course, the price point is a lot lower. They're open edition prints. So yeah, they're for people who are on more of a tighter budget. But I think the work is still good. And like I said, they've been getting some, the reaction to them has been pretty good. So there's 15 in this collection so far. I have quite a few more to add, but this is where they'll be. But yeah, this is the home, well, the gallery that I have. I've got a lot of different subjects, just a lot of different subjects. And then there are series like this one's Newport Beach in California, Jacksonville Zoo, which is here in Northern Florida. So it's just, I have a ton of photographs that are here, but I have thousands more that are just in folders. And so right now I'm going to go over file management and just editing, because a lot of these, especially stuff like this one, this is not where they start. You know, the way they look when they're done is definitely not how they look when I get started with something. So I'm going to go into Adobe Bridge. Now, the thing that's going to be a little difficult for me at this point is that I don't edit officially on my Mac Mini. I like editing on the iPad, but trouble is with the iPad, first, I have a hard time streaming from the iPad, so showing you guys that screen is a little frustrating. And then also, Adobe Bridge is not available on the iPad Pro. And so in order to manage all my files, I have to get on the Apple desktop and manage everything from here and just move the files, you know, back and forth on the Adobe Cloud. And it is a little bit annoying, cumbersome, but I think I have a good flow, a good feel, in terms of working between the Apple desktop and the iPad Pro. So, and then the other thing is that I have the Apple Pencil for my editing, in Photoshop or in Lightroom, but the iPad Pro, as I've said in previous podcasts, the iPad Pro does not, support the full version of the Adobe Creative Suite, like Photoshop or Lightroom. It's like you get some features on the iPad, but you don't get the full version. And so for me to make more just complicated edits, I have to bring it over to the Mac Mini to finish, you know, or to expand on whatever idea I have. But for the most part, I don't do a lot of composites, so the iPad Pro is fine. But like I said, so here I got Adobe Bridge open. Most of my files are on my iPad or on an external drive. The Mac Mini, I only have like 2 years worth of work on here. And as you can see for this year, 2023, I don't have a lot of work created yet. I'm still creating, well, not creating, but editing quite a few photos that I never did finish from last year. And gosh, I think even going back to 2019, I've got so many photographs. And as ideas come up, or if I learn a new technique or I find a different preset, I can go back to photographs I've never edited or used and start working on those and adding those to the gallery. So as far as creating new work, it's been hectic, because I just need to carve out time to create new work. But this is what I've been capturing between yesterday and this afternoon, earlier this afternoon. So I actually found a pretty good bouquet of flowers at the Fresh Market downtown. So I love photographing flowers, but yesterday's session was pretty rocky because Again, I haven't created new work in a while. I have to get back into the flow of just setting up my lights. And then it depends on the subject, whatever you're trying to photograph. So let me give you guys a shot of these flowers. Go to the film strip one. So these are the flowers, right? And there's two types of them, two types of flowers that came in a bouquet. So there's these, the purple or violet colored. And then this one was yellow. There was a lot of these yellow flowers. And so just the look of them caught my attention. And I was thinking, okay, there's something that I can test out. Now, because I use extension tubes for my macro photography, I can change the just the composition as far as like how close I get to the flower or to the subject. I can adjust it like three or four different ways because I have three extension tubes. Sometimes you can put them together or put two together, three together. You can just change how close you can actually get to the flower or whatever subject you're capturing to photograph it. So if I have three tubes together and I connect my lens, I can get this close, but the autofocus doesn't work as well. And so I have to manually focus. And yesterday I was having trouble with getting the camera just to sit still without getting that blur. So this is a pretty good shot because here's my focal point here. And I was trying to get that little, get the focus to fall on this little piece right here and then blur everything else out. Now, yesterday I used one light. Today I decided to use two because I'm getting all of this, the blurriness, because my shutter speed was entirely too slow. So I'm at a fourth of a second. That's less than us. Or that's a fraction of a second. It's got 0.4. And then I have my aperture opened all the way up to 4.5. That's really, really wide. The higher that number goes, the smaller the opening gets. So you're letting in less light, which means that you have to slow your shutter speed down. I don't have strobes. And so that's the thing that hurts me sometimes. So that means that I have to slow the shutter speed down, which can cause blur. I don't like shooting on a tripod because I like to change the composition rather quickly. And so then that means that I have to handheld the camera. I have to hold the camera in hand. And if I'm shaking, if the table that the subject is sitting on is shaking, if there's any type of movement, you're going to pick up blur just like that. So that's what I was really having trouble with yesterday. Now, today I set up a second light, which helped. And I shot in the daytime instead of waiting until, I think I was photographing last night at 11, 12, like midnight. So I had the sliding glass door shades pulled back, let in a whole bunch of light. Then I put, you know, a second light on it, like I said. And so today the lighting was a lot better. I was able to crank up the shutter speed to a 30th of a second, which in comparison to 0.4, that's a lot faster. So I didn't run into that blurred, that motion blur as much. But because the point I'm trying to focus on is so small and it's kind of like further back into the flower, it's just hard for me to focus on it even manually. So it's just like taking a lot of shots and to get the focal point just right. And also when you're shooting macro, your depth of field is very shallow, very shallow. So if you change the millimeters, like your focal length, just a little bit, you can lose where you want the focal point to land really quickly. So it's just, it takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of patience, and you just have to keep trying to get the focal point to fall where you want it. And for me, I shoot with a Canon 5D Mark II. I would say the Mark III, the Mark IV, they have more focal points as far as the autofocusing. So it's probably easier to use autofocus with the camera bodies. But the Mark II is still fine. And like I said, manually, it doesn't make a difference if you're focusing manually. But I would say that if I had more focal points, I would test out using the autofocus more often. But this one here looks pretty good. Now, the other thing is, and let me try to turn this off. This down here, the reflection, that is an acrylic panel. And this is black acrylic. Now, what I found out today, what I would love to buy is white acrylic. Get a white acrylic square panel and sit that beneath whatever I'm photographing to get that lighter reflection, right? So that's what I was thinking when I was taking this shot. I'm like, if I had the white acrylic, I would have liked that better than just the fabric white background, because I would have that reflection to play with. But I mean, overall, yeah, see where my focal point is? It's like deep in here. And so that's what I was trying to get. Now my lights are still set up. And so like this particular shot, I can try to capture this tomorrow morning. But like I say, in terms of also buying flowers, get flowers that are not like in full bloom, because you want to have them for a few days. And actually this particular bouquet, I believe I bought it on Sunday. I didn't start shooting until Friday, because Monday to Thursday, it was either packed with my schedule or I just started working on uploading and doing some other stuff in the studio. So I didn't start working on this until yesterday. But some of the flowers by that particular time had already started to like whittle down and petals start falling off. So I changed the water twice, gave it some of that plant food, kept most of the flowers, you know, in bloom. I started pruning it on Wednesday, because I had the bouquet was just like too large, right? So if you have a bouquet that's too large, it's not enough water to feed all of the flowers. So I started pruning it back and making sure that I had a good handful of flowers that were going to stay in bloom. But yeah, you just want to keep them up as much as possible. Now, this is the other thing I wanted to play with, was having a little bit of dark, a little bit of light, and then that color in the middle. I would probably like this better if this was not just a straight line of black. Maybe if it was at an angle, I would like that better. But I'm thinking maybe in the morning, I want to try to keep the white fabric, but also bring the black acrylic panel in and have those two together with the color of the petals on top, and kind of try to blend all three together. This up here is just where the table runs off. Like there's the fabric, there's a drop off, and then the background you really just can't see because the light, there's just the light fall off right there. But this one, also interesting, it's just more about shape. This is very simple. Very simple. I think if I do something like use something like this, I would create more background around it. Like I would make this really small and make the canvas come out here and just have that full of black. You know what I mean? So that it's not, the flower is not taking up this much space of the composition, but create a lot of negative space around it. This is, it's soft. The focus is soft. Yeah, this focus is here. So I don't know if I want to tweak that or not. Yeah, this is the best one in terms of focus. This green is very loud, very saturated well. So yeah, when I'm capturing everything, now something that I used to work for a photographer briefly, and he would tell me stuff like, when you start a project, the photos at the end are going to be better than the photos you captured at the beginning. At the beginning, you're trying to find what's the best composition. And of course, I came into this with something in mind, but I ran into a whole bunch of problems, like I said, in terms of like lighting, trying to get the right composition, trying to get rid of the motion blur, trying to find the right balance of having a shallow depth of field, the ISO, I didn't want to drop it below 400, that type of thing. So, and then especially for my camera, if I drop the ISO below 400, I'm going to have a lot of film grain, which I want to stay away from. The color aberration kicks up. I want to stay away from that. So, I like this part. This part over here is awkward. So the main thing that I'm doing now is just looking for a composition that I really like. I should just go back from the beginning, right? Like go all the way back to the beginning. This was my initial idea, to have the frame completely full of color, because I'm looking at more work and it's like, okay, I need more color in this. And so now you can see the composition slightly shifts. So it's like I barely move the camera, like barely. I'm like slightly kicking up my hand as I'm holding it to get this to shift. And you can take several photographs like that to see which one comes out the best, and it probably doesn't feel like it's a big deal, but it can turn out to be a big deal. The other thing is that since I'm not using a tripod for this, if I miss the shot, like barely miss the shot, it's hard to go back and duplicate it, duplicate that shot, but you know, shoot it with the composition exactly the same. That's just not even going to happen. And even with a tripod, that's hard to do. But a lot easier, of course. So this one interests me. I like this one better. It doesn't have the bend here as much on the second one, but I just like, it's like you're enveloped. All the colors just taking over the whole thing, the whole shot. So let's just, a matter of taste. Focal point is lost. I didn't get the focal point I wanted. Now this particular flower, the stem fell off, and so I was moving the flowers around, the stem broke, and with this particular flower the stems are very flimsy, which is kind of weird, but it snapped, and so I cut it. So this is like a baby flower. But that's the thing I like about photography, because you can take a flower that's that big, or even a flower this big, and you can print it like 5 feet wide, easy, right? So you can just blow it up, right? And so I like photographing flowers because you can get down to little minute details, right? And then just print it large, you know, without losing that detail. So that's the thing that I like, because otherwise, how many people would notice the little details in the flowers, right? Especially, it's like we just don't look that much at the details, right? So that's what I'm trying to bring out, or that's what I like bringing out in my work. Focus is off, the lighting is off, like the shadow drops right there. Let's see, this would be control 9. So I'm going to go ahead and tag that. So now, as far as my folders go way back to March 2008. That's how long I've been capturing photographs. I have the same labeling system. So the blue is just the raw file. If I like the file, I'm going to go command 9, control 9, and put the blue label on it. If it's a small JPEG, I'll go command control 7, that's yellow. If you go 6, that's red. I'm missing one. Control 8, command 8 is green. Now green is the print file, what I'm going to send to the photo lab. The red is just the original print file. So if you don't enlarge it and you just print out your raw file, the biggest that I can get is a 12 inch by 18 inch print. But of course you can go larger, smaller, right? You can enlarge the print larger than that. But if you just want to stick to the native size of the file with my camera, I can get a 12 by 18 natively with it. And then if it's a Photoshop file, I have to come up here to label. And as you can see, there is no shortcut for it. But here's all your shortcuts. Command, control, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then to do, I just have that as my file, the color for the Photoshop files. So it just helps you like organize everything. If I want to see everything that's blue, everything that's purple, everything that's yellow, there is here it is over here. You can filter it out. If it doesn't have a label, then it'll be under no labels. So you can turn these on and off. Like if I click the blue, it's going to turn everything else off and just give me anything that has a blue label on it. So that's really what I do. I just come in and I'm like, okay, these are the files or the compositions that jump out at me. So turn all of those blue, like, oh, this one's nice. Not so much. That's better. But yeah, as you can see, the motion blurs is crazy. But it's not bad still. That one's closer. For me, it's like, I want the motion blur. The blur is gonna happen naturally. And on the extreme end, when you're shooting macro, you're going to just automatically get a lot of motion blur, or I should say, it's going to be a shallow depth of field. So your focal point is going to be this little tiny area, and then everything else is going to start falling off as far as the sharpness of it. So what I was trying to do, like I said, was get that point in there, have everything else fall off. So this, I might be able to recover this. I might be able to recover that. But this particular, it's a little off. I like that. I like that. Right now I'm looking for composition. So I would say you can shoot for a few hours, take out the camera card, load everything up, look at your shots. And then if you need to reshoot something, all of your equipment is still set up. You can do your reshoots, but it's just going through here and it's like labeling everything. For me, it's blue. For you, you might choose a different color. Label everything that you want to, that you think has potential. As far as editing goes, this is for this, I'm wondering if I can cut on the thirds, but I want to go by rules of thirds, right? So it's lines this way, it's lines this way. So it's like you cut your composition into three, right? Vertical and then horizontal, right? So you got three, you cut it in sections of three. You want this to fall somewhere here, because where the lines intersect, that's your third, right? I have no idea, but if your focal point, or what the real subject of the shot, if it falls on that intersection, it's naturally more pleasing to the human eye. We just gravitate more towards that. If it doesn't fall on, this is around where that intersection is, if it's just off, the shot can still work, but it looks a little tilted. It's a little bit off, right? So, like I said, you can break that third, one third rule, or the thirds rule, but for us as human beings, that's what we're naturally looking for, even if we don't know that's what we're looking for. It's just, that's what we're looking for. So photography 101, whatever you want the focal point to be in your shot, you put it on that thirds intersection. That's where you want it. So for me, I need this to be here where that intersection would be. Now there's different intersections. You would have one here, you have an intersection here. So that focal point would have to fall on any one of these points. It should work. Now, as long as the rest of the shot doesn't look weird, then as far as composition goes, that will work. Can you break the rule? Like I said, of course, break the rules. But as long as you know what the rule is, then you can say, okay, I want to push it a little bit this way, a little bit that way. But if you break the rule and the photograph looks off, then don't break the rule, because you want the shot to look as best as it possibly can. But some shots, it's like it looks better if you break the rule. It just depends on whatever you've captured. I don't know about this one. I'm on the fence about this one. This is, see, now for this one, your thirds would be here, 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 right? Because now you're, instead of a portrait layout, this is more of a, it's a landscape layout. So your thirds, the thirds intersection would be here, 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 right? And I've just been photographing for so long, I have a feel for where it is and when it's a little bit off, and this is a little bit off. So it's slightly off. So I would want it around here. In camera, your autofocus points should meet that thirds rule. You should have AF points right on those thirds lines where it's supposed to intersect. So, and I didn't pay attention to mine yesterday. So that was on me. I was eyeballing it the entire way. The lighting is better. Lighting is better here. I would say this is definitely a good one. This is definitely a good one, because my interest. Okay, first of all, the focal point is sharper here. That's where I want it. The lighting, this swirl, that is awesome. And then I got a bunch of light here. Now, the difference between these two shots, because it's basically the same shot, it moves slightly. But see how this is blurry? I adjusted the focus. Because, I'm doing this manually, focusing manually. Adjusted the focus. And I probably... Let me look at this. This is a sixth of a second. This is a third of a second. Yeah, so this is a longer exposure. It's only 0.3 longer of an exposure. Your shutter's open longer, which lets in more light. Slight adjustment. It let in a bunch more light. I don't think I changed anything else. My ISO is still at 200. The aperture, it's at 4.5. That didn't change. So the only thing that changed is I moved the focal point a little bit. Or I moved the focus a bit. And I changed the shutter speed. I left the shutter open 0.3 seconds longer. And that's a huge difference. That one I went down to 0.4. Because this shot, what I'm looking at it on the screen, on my camera screen, I'm thinking, man, I let in too much light. But now that I'm looking at it on the computer, I like that. I like it. I like the composition. I got the focal point right. It's very nice. Very nice. I like that one. That's definitely a keeper. This is interesting. I don't know if I like the green over here in the corner. I don't know. I don't know. What do you guys think about the green in the corner? Now, this one I was thinking go very subtle. Let me blow this up. It needs more. I want to try this shot. I like the idea where it's going. There's not enough in the shot, and yes, it's a little blurry. The focus is soft. Now, if you're going for soft focus, something more abstract, you don't have to take a literal shot of the subject. It just depends on how it looks. Gosh, well, the only thing I'm noticing with this is It's got like a yellow tint to it. It does. It has a yellow tint to it. But I think... Yeah, I changed it. Now, on the thumbnail down here, that looks very interesting. Like, out of these four... Like this one, this looks the most interesting. So when you have like similar shots, you can come down here and look at the thumbnails and see what jumps out at you, even when it's at a really small size. So that one jumps out to me. I like the shape of these, but I think the bright. The lighting is too much, it's too high. I like the shape, but then down here, but then when you blow it up, this is a lot of, it looks really grainy. It looks really grainy. Let me look at my ISO now. It's still at 200. Oh, I turned up my aperture. To 8. Now, turning up the aperture, you're going to have more focus compared to, I think up here, it was at 4.5. Basically, every camera lens has a sweet spot as far as aperture. I think mine is like 7.1, but then that means that you're going to have to turn your shutter speed down even more. You're going to have to throw a lot more light on your subject. And if you want like a soft lighting to fall on the subject, You're going to have to be careful about how much light you throw on it. So again, it's like you're juggling different factors into the shot. So it's like, yeah, you have to be careful with that. I was trying to sharpen up the photo to make it easier for me to focus on this, but that just made it more difficult. That's a little better. That's not bad. Again, as far as the rule of thirds, this is a little bit off and it's centered. When you're using a rule of thirds, you're not going to be on a center line ever. You're going to be over here, over here, over here, over here, right? So this is more on a center line and it's a little bit off. I love the shape. Love, love, love the shape. I still do have this flower, but since this flower is just, it's already cut off the stem, I have to hurry up and photograph it before it starts to wilt too much. And it will wilt for sure. Yeah, see center line? It's centered. And the composition can be better. But I love what I'm trying to get to with that. I do. I love what I'm trying to get to with that. No. I like this better when it's on this side, but it was worth a shot. It was worth testing it out. For sure. Now, the other thing that you can do, and it's also why I like buying the 4x6 test prints, is you can flip this and see what it looks like. Because I like the lighting, how the lighting goes up. I like that part. But it's just composition. Yeah, I do like it on that side. But see how it's closer to that center line, this part? That's what's throwing me off. Oh my goodness. Okay, so that's the original rotation. I guess this would be my favorite. I don't know, I like the feel of this, how that is. Yeah. I can go with that like that. This totally missed a shot. But again, it's worth a try. Now, I will say, as you can see, most of the shots I take, they're not gonna come out right. I'm basically trying a bunch of stuff. Again, I have my original concept in mind. And then after that, I'm looking at, does this work? Does this work? Does this work? Does this work? Let me try this, try this, try this, try this. A lot of trial and error, and just trying to find what else you can get out of the subject besides what you originally had in mind. So that's really, oh wow, this is close. See, this is a little bit, it's close enough. It really is. It's close enough. That's too much. It's off too much. That one is close. That one's close. Ooh, the color. That's nice. Now, the other thing that I don't even know if we have time to get into is my monitor itself. I'm working on a 27-inch monitor now. I upgraded. Working on the iPad is fine. But like I said, for one, you can't install Adobe Bridge on the iPad. For two, it's a 12.9-inch screen. You can either get the 11-inch iPad Pro or the 12.9-inch screen. Both of those are entirely too small to work on. 27-inch is the way to go. 24, maybe. Most photographers like 32-inch screens. But not only the screen size, I upgraded to a color accurate monitor, the Asus ProArt, and it's awesome. It's awesome. Now, color accuracy means that the color I see here on the screen, I want that color as precisely as I can get it when I get this printed out. So if you just buy a 27 inch or 32 inch monitor and you're not looking at the color accuracy specs at all, you can see a certain color on the screen, you have the photograph printed, and color doesn't look like it does on the screen at all, right? So I know this is a technical term, but you're looking for at least a Delta 2 spec on your monitor, right? On your monitor. Now, as far as the monitor goes, I wasn't able to get, wasn't able to afford the Apple Studio. I think it's called Apple Studio. It's like, starts at $2,000. I'm not able to afford that right now. But I did get the Asus ProArt. It's a 4K monitor. It is Delta 2. It's color accurate. It comes out of the box already calibrated. It's awesome. Oh, before I leave that note, let me make sure or see if I have this. Let me switch over here to show you guys this. All right. So this is ProArt. This is all the stats that they give you. Do I know what all these numbers mean? No. But no, I don't. But this is color accuracy, the testing that they do. And of course, you still have to calibrate your monitor periodically to make sure it stays, the color stays accurate, but that's what it is. Now, it also comes with this. Let me see if I still have this. Now, this is also what you're looking for. It's verified. Right. So when you're looking, you're shopping online probably, or you're in store, Best Buy, whatever, this is what you ask for. I think it's Kalman verified. It says calibrated with creative perfection, with precision performance, customizable to your needs. The Asus ProArt palette and ProArt preset. Your ProArt display is ready to help you realize your creative vision. So it's, this Kalman verified is a big deal. So make sure you have that as well. It basically means that, you know, the RGB color spectrum, your typical monitor that you probably pay $80 to $100 for, it's not going to be Kalman verified. You're not going to have, as far as percentage goes, you're not going to be able, your monitor's not going to be able to display as many of the colors in that color spectrum that you're looking for. So this particular monitor is not the most expensive, but as far as the sRGB color spectrum, it's probably like 90, I think this one's 100% of the sRGB. But the Adobe RGB, I think this one that I got is like 87 to 89% of the Adobe RGB color spectrum. But it basically means that whatever color our eyes can see, right, your monitor can produce that color or show you that color. If your monitor is incapable of showing that color, it's going to show you what it can, right? Your colors are going to come out, you know, or you're going to see your colors altered, right? Because your monitor is just not capable of producing the color that your camera captured, right? It gets really technical. So for me, my camera body is in Adobe RGB. Oh. So my camera, I set it in Adobe RGB. Your monitor should be able to show as much of the Adobe RGB color spectrum as possible, or in this case, as much as you can afford. just start somewhere. But I would say for sure, Delta 2, start there. Kalman verified, 100% sRGB as far as color spectrum. Now the Adobe RGB, to get to 100%, you're going to be paying probably $1,200. You know, it's going to be more expensive for the monitor. So just as far as that goes, keep that in mind. If photography is a hobby for you and you don't have the budget, I would say start with the Asus ProArt. There's different versions of the Asus ProArt. Pick whichever one you can afford. There's other brands out there like BenQ. Their monitors go all the way up to $3,000. I mean, they're like top of the line, all of that. If that's in your budget, and I wouldn't suggest that for a hobby, but if you're like legit want to get into photography, getting your work published in galleries like I'm doing, definitely. So for me, once my budget gets to that point, that's what I will upgrade to. So, all right, back to where, oh, that's pretty. I like this. We're going to give this one some stars. Now, let me see here. Okay, so these are shortcuts up here too. One star, command control, 1, 2, 3, so on, like that, right? So all your shortcuts will be over here to show you what they are. So you don't have to keep moving your mouse up here, clicking the label tab, getting to the drop down menu. it'll tell you most of the time what your shortcut keys are. And you can also probably go into preferences, I think, and customize what your shortcut keys are going to be, or what you want them to be. But for me, this is fine. So for me, control 5, this is really nice. And then on your ratings, this will pop up. So you go to that filter button or tab, and this is all your stuff down here. So right now with the blue, we already got 9. So there's that. All right. Let me not jump ahead of myself. All right. So that one's off too much. But yeah, this is the other thing too. Like when you're photographing, don't just take one shot and move on to the next composition. Especially if you feel like you didn't get the shot, keep the camera position as, you know, in place as much as possible. Take a few shots until you feel like, okay, I got that one, right? You can also use your LCD screen on the camera, zoom in, make sure you got the focus where you want it. And if not, you can reshoot or recapture it right there before you bring it over to the computer, which is also what I didn't do yesterday. Oh gosh. See, I like the focal points better here, but see how this is closer to that third intersection? So that those lines going, this is closer. So I like the composition better, but the focal point here is off more. That's a bummer, but I like this. I like the composition there. When you're looking for what you want to photograph, get something that is going to be visually interesting. And I know that sounds like common sense, but it's like, get something that would spark your attention, right? That just grabs your eye, because then that's easier to get a really good shot out of that with, right? This is okay. I don't know. That's the best composition, but I don't know how I feel about this one. That one's better. See how it's like, I want to kick it a little bit more to the right. See, because I like the focal point. Yeah, that's not bad for what I was doing. But you know, kick it over here. That would be better. I like where I was going. I can see where I was going. I was just a little bit off on these. Gosh, I gotta take this one. I like that. That's nice. I don't know what so post, like when you're editing, you can sharpen to a certain degree, like just that spot, right? But it can be tough. It can be a little tough. Yeah. You can sharpen a little bit, but you really want to get the sharpening, the focal point right in camera as much as possible. That's not bad. I think I like this first one best. I don't know what I'm going to do with the composition, though. This is the end of part 1 of 4. Come back in the future to listen to the remaining podcasts for this lesson. Thank you.